Hello and welcome. Thank you for joining us here on our podcast at Elim Church in Swanley. You're joining myself, Reverend Ben Cooper and Brian Scully. We are so pleased and glad that Brian has travelled all the way from Islington with his wife, Maya, to join us as Brian will share some great stories. I've got a bit of a smile on my face here, you know. He's a lovely guy, you know. We love Brian. He's been preaching here for quite a while, and we got to meet Brian through Sandra in the world of the persecuted church, and Brian's got a great story he's going to share, and I can't help smiling at this moment. And it's so good to have you with us, Brian. Thank you so much for coming all the way from Islington. Bit of a journey all the way through, wasn't it?
Yeah, it's fine.
Praise God. Right, we are going to listen to Brian's bit of a part of a testimony and the things that he gets involved in the world of mission that he's involved in and different places he's been to. But Brian, can you tell us how you became a born-again believer in Christ and the set journey that there was a pattern?
Okay, well, I was brought up Catholic and, you know, did all the things good Catholic boys should do, was an altar boy, etc. And but I became more and more disenchanted, and when I was 15, I kind of walked away from the faith.
Yeah.
Strange thing was, though, I couldn't get rid of Jesus.
Wow.
Totally, you know.
Praise
got
God.
Rid of everything else, you know.
But not Jesus. No. Got rid of everything else.
Yeah.
So you said you was brought up as a Catholic.
Oh, yeah, we were strict. We used to have to kneel down every night, say the rosary and so on, you know.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was pretty...
Have you got any brothers and sisters?
Yeah, three brothers and three sisters.
Okay.
And, yeah.
Where was you brought up, Brian? Whereabouts?
Well, I was actually born in India. I was part of all... I'm Eurasian, you know. My father worked for a company called Burma Shell. So we moved around
a bit.
You know, and so, yeah, and then I came here very early when I was about nine, you know. But, of course, the Catholicism was the same in India, you could say, although it's even stricter in India. And so we just continued that when we came to England, you know, went to our local Catholic church and so on.
Okay, so you was a Catholic up until the age you was...
15, I'd say. I walked 15. Away. I got a bit... disenchanted with it.
Okay, and you walked away, right? Yeah, and got a bit of a smile going on. So what was the next part of your journey, Brian?
Well, as I kind of left home and so on, I got into a kind of hippie lifestyle. You must remember this is the 60s.
Yes.
Someone says, do you remember the 60s? I said, and the answer is, if you remember the 60s, you weren't there.
You weren't there. So yeah, this is a bit of a blur.
A bit of a blur, but... major things I do remember. I mean, I got into all the bad stuff, you know, took drugs, etc., including hallucinogenic drugs like LSD and so on, and, you know, went on a pretty wild lifestyle. And,
okay. So from the age of 15, what was the time gap that you roughly had in between, like, from 15, 16, when you didn't jump straight into the hippie lifestyle?
No. I did. I left home, found a bedsit, and got a job, but pretty soon was sucked into that kind of lifestyle. I lived around Swiss Cottage during this time, and so we went to clubs and discotheques and so on, in pubs, and I met up with people in bands, you know, and
it was easy just to get into that.
Yeah, and that's how I first started smoking pot, of course, and people say it's no harm in pot, and but actually you don't stop at pot, you know. Well, I didn't anyway.
It's just an inroad into other.
Yeah, exactly.
So you had hallucinogenics, and you had some real bad. You had a really bad experience, you was telling me.
Yeah, I did. I did a one trip I went on. It was literally hell. I thought I'd died and gone to hell, and I didn't come down off this trip, and ended up in a psychiatric ward where I received electric shock treatment.
And what sort of age was you then, Brian? What sort of age was that?
Oh, I was about 18, 19, I think. 18, something like that.
So very, very young then. You'd come out of Catholicism. That was a shock coming out of that. And then someone offered you this alternative life that was joy, happiness.
Yeah.
You know, man, we're floating around. Come.
Well, yeah, that's right.
Come and live the dream.
Now, the amazing thing is LSD, which is an hallucinogen, you think... You know, it's called the dose of perception. You know, one person called it. You think you're going to get heaven,
yeah,
but actually you end up with hell. It's like the devil, you know, he's the chief liar. He takes you to the top of the mountain and then he throws you off the other side.
That's right. He promises you a great journey and then he throws you off and you plunder to the depth that is almost... You feel that you're never going to return, do
you? That's right, yeah. And I ended up in the psychiatric ward.
Mm.
And I should have learned my lesson, but unfortunately I didn't. I came out, thought it was okay, and, behaved myself for a bit, but then, gradually went back to my hippie lifestyle. I did all the hippie things, you must understand.
That's it. That was your life. You was living that. That went along with that. And it was... Obviously, it's easy to pick up anything, any drugs whatsoever. It's not.
And I had a good time as well. I don't want to say it was all horror. I mean, I hitchhiked to Marrakesh, Express.
You really lived the hippie lifestyle.
Lived on the Greek islands for 6 months, all sorts of things, yeah.
So you've really had a very powerful, unusual...
Yeah.
Well, when I say an unusual journey, it's really not that unusual. I know we're in the world of the church now, and I've had exactly the same experiences as you with one thing and another. And God is always with us all the way through our journeys, isn't he?
Absolutely amazing.
And can you see stages where you was protected
The way through? Yeah. Well, I met my wife in 1968, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't a hippie like me, but she liked to go to the discotheques and stuff, and that's where I met her. And then I think we got married in 71, 72, yeah, sorry.
That's all
typical
right.
Husband.
Yeah, typical man, no problem.
And I was still a bit of a hippie, and I went to Holland.
Went to Holland.
Ostensibly to find a job.
And you ended up... Come on.
Well, I ended up, you're not going to believe this, in a Christian hostel in the middle of the red light district, right?
Really?
Yeah. So we had this Christian hostel, which was cheap to stay in.
Yeah.
And we had girls in the window on either side.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. Actually, one of them got baptized, became a believer. But in the meantime, I kept bumping into Christians.
God puts people in our path, doesn't he?
Yeah, there was a place in Amsterdam, I think it's still there, it's a boat, it's on a canal, it's called the Ark. And these people invited me for dinner and stuff. And of course, I didn't have much money, and of course free dinner is great. But I had to put up with them preaching the gospel to me.
Let me say that again. To get free dinners, I had to put up with them preaching the gospel.
Yeah. I couldn't get rid of Jesus.
I couldn't get rid of Jesus.
And then they invited me to Bible studies and so on.
Okay.
Anyway, one night I was in this hostel, and for some strange reason, well, I know it was the Lord now, the fear of God came upon me, everything they were preaching to me. And I kind of thought, what's going to happen if I die, And I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll confess.
The old Catholic kicked in.
Yeah, and then I went downstairs, and the only person I could confess to was this young lad. He was on the reception desk.
So he got the whole lot.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a sinner, help me.
And he was like, But anyway, I felt better.
Yeah, that's right.
Sort of thing, But the next day, I had a Bible, by the way, at this stage.
Yeah.
And the next day, I decided to hitchhike to Copenhagen, up to Denmark, because my wife was... going to meet me in Denmark.
Yes.
And I didn't get a job, by the way. So I was reading my Bible at the side of the road, and I got everything mixed up, dying to self, and you must be born again. Mm-hmm. So I got it all mixed up, and I thought, I must be prepared to die if I'm going to go to heaven.
Yes.
So I said a kind of prayer, right, okay, Lord, I know I'm no good, but I know that I have to die now. Be prepared to die, so I'm ready. Take my life. And I don't know what happened, but I was slain in the spirit, And I came to, and everything was different. I could smell feel the grass, like it was like velvet. I could smell flowers and trees. I thought, wow, I'm in heaven. What? It's happened.
Isn't that interesting, Brian, you've had many trips, and I'm referring to LSD
trips. This was better
trips.
Than any trip.
That's what I'm saying. So with the power of God and the Holy Spirit, you entered into a realm that you never went to before as a young hippie.
Yeah.
But that lifestyle that we're talking about pre where we are now, is that's what we're always looking for. Everyone was looking for that place of spiritual fulfillment.
Yeah.
Tried it in drugs, sex, drugs, and rock and roll. It never filled the gap.
Yeah.
But suddenly on the roadside,
yeah,
you had an experience that was just life-changing.
Absolutely. But I must mention that, you know, it didn't stop there. I felt everything that was rotten flowing out of me, and I was just overwhelmed with God's love.
With the love of God.
I couldn't move. I was just shaking.
Paralyzed.
You know, shaking just in the spirit, because it was overpowering.
So all your early childhood as in Catholicism.
Catholicism.
Catholicism, yeah. I'm just in awe at the minute, thinking about it, Brian, on the roadside. So all the trouble that you went through in Catholicism, you went through as a young person in that, you come out of the religion, you went into the world of being a hippie, all that sort of stuff, everything you lived, suddenly you felt all this,
yeah,
just disappearing from you at the roadside.
Yeah.
You felt the love of God just wrapping his arms around you, just, you felt this just,
yeah,
love of God.
Yeah, but the strange thing was, I thought I died, you know, and was in heaven. And then I saw cars.
Oh, what's going on?
I said, where are the angels? You know?
What's going on, Lord?
Yeah, I saw cars. I thought, oh, can't be dead then, you know. So I thought, well, I better get up to Copenhagen. Well, I was going to Copenhagen then to,
yeah,
meet my wife. She lived on an,
yeah,
island. And I started hitchhiking. Before I could start hitchhiking proper, I got up to hitchhike, and this car drew up, and it was a Dutch hippie, would you believe?
Oh, no. Oh, no.
He said, hey, man. What are you
doing? Man.
And I must have been so still
overwhelmed.
I was going, I started preaching. I said, Jesus loves you.
And I bet he thought, wow, what are you on?
But he invited me into the car.
And, oh, really?
Yeah, and I started telling him what just happened, you know, and I just couldn't keep it to myself.
You couldn't hold it down.
And turns out he's a Buddhist, right?
Oh, right, okay.
He says, wow, this is amazing. I can't do the Dutch accent.
No, yeah.
My guru has been trying to get this for 25 years.
And suddenly you had it on the roadside on a...
Yeah, and I didn't know what he was talking about.
Yeah, yet. Sure.
But the strange thing was, he took me home, introduced me to his wife, who was a kind of Eurasian girl, you know, Indonesian Dutch.
Okay.
And she was going to visit the guru that night, him and her and her husband.
Oh, wow.
They asked me to look after the little son they had. I think his name was Bjorn.
Yeah.
Well, that's a bit strange because I'm a total stranger, you know. But
yeah,
anyway,
just
I agree.
Picked up on the road, so you babysit
yeah,
for
yeah,
me tonight.
And in the meantime, all I could talk about was Jesus.
Oh, they must have thought, he's all right, he's talking about Jesus.
Yeah, but anyway, it was amazing. And that night, I had this tremendous feeling again, you know, and shaking and you know, I presume talking in tongues, although to me, it was like I was just wasn't in control of.
So you had this this spiritual experience.
Yeah, and then the next day I said, I have to go. And they took me to the German border.
Yeah.
And I started hitchhiking and stopped after about 100 meter, miles, you know, kilometers, whatever.
Yeah.
And opened my rucksack, and they'd filled it full of food and fruit and stuff.
Ah, know? Lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
So they sustained you on your journey.
Yeah, and then I got up to my wife's house.
Yes.
And I didn't realise I'd completely changed. Apparently, well, you can ask her. She
yeah.
can verify this. But apparently, I was just talking. I was just telling her and all the family, Jesus
so
loves
was a,
you.
Was, Brian's on it again. He's supposed to have left that.
And of course, it appeared that I was drunk.
Yeah,
I wasn't.
That's what
on,
I was referring.
On drugs.
Yeah.
I wasn't drunk, and I wasn't on drugs. But there's something about that in Acts,
yeah.
isn't there? These men
yeah.
are drunk. You
yes.
know? And it's funny because while I was talking to the preaching to the family, well, all I was saying was, Jesus loves you.
That's all you could say, but...
yeah, and then there was a knock on the door, and Maya's brother went
yeah.
out, and there was these Jehovah's Witnesses. And he came back in and said, Brian, there's some of your friends outside.
Hang on, no, they're not my...
And I went out and said, hi, guys, I want to talk about God, you know, and they ran off after a couple of minutes. Thought I was balmy, I suppose. Yeah, and that's how it started.
What an unusual journey.
Yeah, because I'd only had the Catholic... And, oh, I forgot to mention that I'd previously been involved with a cult called the Children of God.
That's what I wanted to pick up on, actually.
Yeah, right? Yeah. So
so where did that slot into?
I left home and, you know, I was running a shop in Portobello Road called Kentucky Fried Chicken, KFC today.
Yeah.
And, you know, and I was the manager, and it was the first time I'd had a decent job for some time. You know, this was after my coming out of hospital, you know, and stuff like that. And one day these people came into the shop, Americans, and started singing to me. You know, started singing, "You gotta be a baby to get to heaven, Jesus said." And I thought, this is great, you know. And they were part of this group, which I later found out was a cult.
So you got drawn into this occult.
Yeah. And I had to leave in the end, although it wasn't easy trying to leave them, you know, because cults don't like you leaving, you know. And later on, all sorts of horrible stuff came out about them. We won't go into that.
No, we won't go into that.
To be fair, I just thought they were a bit crazy, you know, and their leader was a bit crazy and everything. I'll tell you one thing about cults. They all have one thing in common. They all usually have a leader, and the leader's word is...
final.
Yeah.
In fact,
even if it totally conflicts with scripture, and they claim to be Christians...
Yes.
The leader's word overrules everything, including scripture. And they all have one thing in common. The leader says this, or the prophet says that, or and you can't question it.
How long was you in that for?
About just over a year, I believe.
Long enough to really
but in the end, I had to get out because I thought these people are crazy.
This is so wrong.
Yeah, it's so wrong. Because even I could see, although I wasn't hadn't been immersed in the Bible, even I could see it contradicts
So could we say the Spirit of God was already working?
Definitely. He was
awakening your...
He was looking after me.
He was taking care of you.
Yeah. But after this experience of being born again in Holland and, you know, hitchhiking up to see my wife, I thought, all I've had is the Catholic Church and this mad cult.
Yes.
So I'll just be a Christian on my own, you know.
Love it. I'll be a Christian.
And unfortunately, that's not easy.
It's not easy.
I mean, I thought, I'll go into pubs and witness to people in pubs and stuff like that, you know. And sometimes that didn't work. One particular day, I remember telling this guy he's going to go to hell, at which point his mate stood up and gave me a right-hander, and I went tumbling over.
You went tumbling. Oh, my goodness. God, talk about persecuted for Christ.
No, just foolishness, that was.
Yeah, a great big griller suddenly decides to hit you.
Yeah, because I insulted his mate. You know?
Yeah.
Funny enough, his mate came to church, but when I started going to church, you know, which I did a few years after you know this experience in just outside Amsterdam. So I want to encourage people out there: if you're not in a church, do join one. There's no perfect church, but you do need fellowship, you know, because
it's
very hard to exist as a believer on your own, you know.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, you can go wrong, so you need people beside you to say, hang on a minute, that's not quite right, you know. So you need fellowship. That's what the Bible says. So I would encourage anyone that's not in a church but loves the Lord, find a fellowship. Even if it's just a house church, you need fellowship. Yeah, that's
excellent.
My preaching over. But
that's all right. No, you carry on, my friend. You carry on. Yeah. It's all good. So we have you coming out of Catholicism. You come up into, you work in Kentucky Fried Chicken. And
Colonel Saunders. Yeah.
Can you backtrack a little bit and tell me that story that you told me off air, where he come behind the counter? You've got to tell us that.
Well, because the people from the Children of God, they were all Californian hippies, remember?
You know,
and all bronzed, you know?
Yeah.
And they came in, you know, and they became familiar with me. They started coming in every day.
Yeah.
And then they started going into the kitchen and helping themselves to the chicken. So I said to this one guy, he was kind of the leader. His name was Mash.
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 I don't know where they got their names from.
Where'd they get
their... I don't know.
Gotta be...
Some of them
cool.
were Old Testament names, like Caleb, you know.
Caleb, yeah.
Anyway, I said, should you be doing that? Isn't that stealing? And he said, no, my brother, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. Chomp, 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 chomp.
Manipulating scripture to get food.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
And I kind of thought, oh, yeah, okay.
Okay, let them get on with it. Oh, my gosh. So out of the Catholic Church, Kentucky Fried Chicken, being a manager of that for a while, you met Colonel Saunders, you said?
Yeah, he actually came over to check out six shops, and ours was one he chose. I actually had a picture of taken with him, which was put over the doorway. Yeah, over the, you know, and I wish I had it today. I didn't take it when I left. Yeah.
When you left.
But yeah, so he was
from the chicken shop.
He was just a front man. Then, because he'd sold his rights, but they used him as a kind of obviously.
Most definitely. So Catholic church, chicken shop. You know, the world of being a hippie.
Oh, I've got to tell you another
traveling. Come on, let's have another.
Yeah. Have you ever heard of a actor called Richard Widmark?
Yes.
Well, they were going to shoot a film. He was shooting a film called Madigan in London.
Okay.
And they wanted to use the shop.
Yeah.
So there was a day shoot in the shop. And all it was he would come in the shop and say, get a chicken, bucket a chicken, walk out of the shop.
Right? And that was it.
Yeah, he was supposed to be following someone Someone's following him, yeah. But anyway, we were shooting this scene, and he came in, Richard Widmark.
Yeah.
And we had a conversation, and he says, how much does this guy pay you, you know?
Yeah.
Meaning Kentucky Fried Chicken. Yeah. And I told him, and he said, why, that cheap bum. Probably he's getting millions.
He's probably getting millions. So through the chicken shop, you've had a bit of a journey then.
Yeah.
So Catholic church, hippie, Kentucky Fried Chicken, occultic activity. Then what happened? How did you come to be... I know you give us these encounters.
Well, one day, obviously, the Lord said to me, look, because I was sitting... they're thinking, you know, what am I doing? You know, because my witnessing wasn't going very well. So I felt the Lord saying, find a church. So
okay.
How do I find a church? You know, aren't they all a bit wonky?
Yeah.
So I had the yellow pages? I just looked up churches, started ringing up all these churches.
Oh, goodness.
And asking them what they believed. And it's an amazing exercise because you won't believe what some of them believe.
What they come up with.
Yeah, weird, you know, like they don't believe that in the Trinity, or they don't believe that Jesus is the only way to salvation, or they don't believe that Jesus is God, the Son, Saviour.
Yeah.
Not some bloke from Jerusalem or a prophet or something like that. And so I found this church and they were sound, you know, and it was called City Temple.
Yeah.
It was located in... Holborn, and I started going there, and they had a great preacher there called Brian Johansson, South African guy, and he preached the solid, unadulterated gospel. Yeah, and at this stage, my wife still wasn't a believer, you know.
Yeah.
I don't blame her, because I put her off.
No, I can, that's a pretty common thing, though, isn't it?
I used to follow her around the flat with the Bible preaching to her.
Oh, that's not a good thing, is it, Maya? That's not good.
So that didn't work. So one day I just gave up. I felt the Lord saying to me, just be quiet.
Yeah.
Which I did. And then one day she just said, can I come to church today? So she started coming to church with me. And that's how it happened.
Breakthrough day.
Yeah, so God, that's a typical example of how God saves people.
Yes.
You don't.
Not humanity. God works in his timings. It's all about him in his timings. He will prevail. He will come through.
Yeah.
And sometimes we try to rush things, don't we?
You can't do that. All you can do is open your mouth when you're told to, and just speak the truth.
Yeah. So you started attending this church in Holborn.
Yeah.
When did you start preaching yourself, and how did all that come around and get involved in the world of the persecuted church?
A few years later, before this, now about 1982, a Chinese girl joined the church. Chinese girl from Malaysia. And she said to me one day, Brian, I can't do her accent, she says, we must go out and tell people about the Lord. I thought, what are you, crazy?
Wow.
But she got me door knocking, you know, in the local area. So that's how I started.
The good old traditional door knocking.
Yeah, door knocking. And amazing how people, out there are so hungry, you know. We didn't get loads of people coming into the churches, but we met their needs. We prayed with them. Yeah. We saw a few people come to the Lord.
You were just doing what the scripture said.
Yeah, yeah.
So you joined the church. You was out on the streets, door knocking, bit of evangelism going on.
Yeah.
But then, how did you get to travel and to do your Bible smuggling and this sort of stuff?
Right. So one day, about a couple of years later, about 84. I think later in the year, this girl I told you about, she invited me to her Chinese fellowship in the West End, and they were going to have lots of Chinese food and...
Excellent.
I thought, great.
Great, that's it.
With a guest speaker.
Yeah.
And they had a guy speaking about the suffering church and how he smuggles Bibles into these communist countries like Russia and Romania and stuff. And I thought, oh, that sounds interesting, you know.
Yeah.
So I went into it for all the wrong reasons, you know. Sounded a bit adventurous.
Yeah, because you've got that adventurous spirit, haven't you? You can tell that from your journey of life, travelling.
Yeah, I think it's probably more a Bolshe spirit, you know.
Yeah. Right. I'm glad you said that.
if there's something that says you mustn't do this, so I want to do it.
I'm off.
You mustn't smuggle Bibles. But actually, in all these countries claim they don't ban Bibles, but in reality they do.
Yeah. So where was your first journey abroad for Jesus?
Yeah.
With Bibles?
Yeah, to Romania. We were taking 250 Bibles to Romania. Yeah.
Was it an open trip, or did you have to hide them somewhere?
You had to hide them. We hid them under the floors of a caravan, you know, the floor of a caravan.
Under the floor of the caravan?
Yeah, and we... and again, we had some funny experiences, you know. They used to actually... They knew people were smuggling Bibles because they drilled holes into the bottom of the caravan looking for Bibles, you know. And I heard a story that... one Bible smuggling group were related to me. It was really funny. They said they went to a caravan site and an English couple said, "Look what these people did. They drilled holes in our caravan looking for Bibles. Who on earth smuggles Bibles?" And here's this
group. Here
they're standing there going, "Oh, isn't that terrible?"
Oh, that's terrible, scratching their chins, and they got a floor full of Bibles in their caravan.
But it's amazing how the Lord works, because they kept us at the border searching for some time. Then we went in, and we were driving early in the morning, and then we saw some people in a field, and the person driving said, they're believers. And we said, "How do you know?" I don't know. The Lord just told me they're believers. I thought, look, we've got to be very careful.
Yeah.
So we had a little discussion, and we said, "Let's go for it." So we walked into this field, and there's all these people suddenly stopped what they were doing and looked at us in apprehension. We looked at them.
Yeah.
We thought, what do we do? We kept walking towards them, and we just went, "We're Christians from the West." And they all went, some of them spoke English. They just, "We're Christians too." And we all danced about hugging each other in this field about 6 o'clock in the morning. It's weird, yeah. And they became our contacts, and I saw them for years after that. You know?
Oh, did you? You kept contact with them?
Yeah, because when I went back a couple of years later, and we needed to know about, you know, where we could take some of the aid we had with us. And there was a connection between Christians in those days in the communist countries. Like, there was no division whether they were Pentecostal, Baptist, even Orthodox. They had they had an underground church. For instance, we were told, there's a doctor in this city called Sucheva, or there's a nurse, and you know, Christians, so we could leave the aid with them, you know, whether it's medicines or whatever.
So there was no denomination pollution.
No.
It was like...
They all loved the Lord.
They all loved the
they
Lord.
They all worshipped in their own way, but there was no us and them, you know. And that's the sad thing when freedom came to these countries. They all started arguing again, you know.
So when freedom came, it actually destroyed it to a degree?
Well, to a degree, the unity was gone, yeah. They all started fighting, if you like, their own corner. Well, that's been my experience, you
yeah,
know.
That's sure.
been my. It might be different in other countries, I don't know. But I mean, Really, sad.
It is very sad.
I'm not saying you should get together with a cult or something.
No.
But, I mean, okay, if you might have differences about how you serve communion or once saved or always saved or, you know, pre-rapture or post-rapture. You know, there's all kinds of arguments. That, to me, those are not important. Listen, the only thing's important is that, do you love Jesus?
Do you love Jesus? Do you believe?
He's the only way by which man can be saved.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
Put your trust in the Lord. Right? That's the major thing.
Yeah.
If people started preaching something different, then I'd have a problem.
Then we'd have got a problem.
But I'm not going to start arguing about how you serve communion or, you know, whether you want to wear a big long robe.
It's up to you.
Or you like to wear jeans and T-shirts.
Yeah, it's up to you.
Yeah. So let's not start arguing about silly things, right? But, okay, obviously you have to stand up against heresy, but that's something different.
Yeah, I get that. So you've had a fantastic ride coming up to where you are in ministry today. So how many countries did you go back to? Have you been back to those ones since?
Yeah, I've been to Romania a few times. I went to Albania. In those days, Albania was like the North Korea of today.
Was it really?
Yeah,
like it was the North Korea stricter. Of today.
They had a dictator called Enver Hoxha, and he virtually massacred all the Christians in the country. It was a terrible time. It was like it started in the late 50s, early 60s, and went on till into the 80s. And we didn't even know there was any Christians there. But we got in. And we had to walk through no man's land to get to Albania from Yugoslavia.
And what was that experience like?
It was okay. I mean, you could only get in through Paris. You had to get your visa through Paris in those days. And we went in and we were immediately put in a bus with minders, right? And, of course, they took us to what they wanted us to see, like factories, which were horrible because people were walking around with no arms and things, you know, in these factories. They looked like something out of the Victorian age. Or they wanted us to go to a kindergarten, and all these children about 5, 6 years old were totally indoctrinated, and they'd be standing there singing songs to their glorious leader and stuff like that. Okay, so anyway, I got fed up with this, and there was a girl of like mind called Amanda.
Yeah,
she said, "I know what, Brian. When we're going on the next, every morning they take you in the bus to somewhere. You tell them you're sick, and I'm your nurse. I have to look after you." So I said, "Right, okay." So, I suppose the Lord will forgive me in a little. So then when they were all gone, we sneaked out the hotel and we said, "Let the Lord direct us." And I said, "We should go this way." And Amanda would say, "No, I think the Lord's telling us to go this way."
Two different prophecies.
And we were walking into the hills, you know, and all of a sudden, and we took our crosses out.
You took the crosses out and you had them on show.
Yeah, we took them out, you know. And, once we came to the country, they knew we were Christians anyway, but they kind of decided to ignore it. But we were walking along the street, and there was an old lady sitting on a low wall in front of her house, and she saw our cross, and she went, and she covered her mouth with her hands, and then blew a kiss, and then put her hands over her heart, and she ushered us to her, and we ran up the stairs into her house.
In her home.
And there were she had two strapping boys with their families, their wives and children. And again, we said, "Oh, we're Christians from the West." And they said, "We're Christians too. We never have believed anyone would come to us." And it was an amazing, amazing scene, yeah.
Interesting journey you had.
Some of that on film, actually, yeah.
So have you?
The second time we've met, yeah. So, of course, you can't kill God's church.
No, impossible.
And so there were secret believers there all over the place. And today, Albania has a vibrant church.
So it's a big turnaround, isn't it? Massive.
And also, there's a big Muslim population there as well, I think. Yeah. So I went to countries like that, and I went to North Korea. And
and how was your experience in North Korea?
Yeah, well, I'll just do a quick... Again, you know what I talked to you about, the indoctrination?
Yeah.
That's a school, and you can see this, all the kids, again, singing praises to the dictator and all the rest of it.
Yeah, for all those that can't see this, Brian's got this fantastic black and white picture of these tiny little school children all being indoctrinated by... and what else we got?
Well, they were indoctrinated there.
Yeah.
But then we said, can we sing a song? And they said, yes. Yeah, okay. So we did. Started singing with two South African girls.
Yeah.
This Old Man, you know, Knick Knack Paddy Whack.
Oh, right, okay.
Because it's an action song.
Yeah.
And so they all
so engaged in that.
Yeah, yeah. And so did some of the ladies, the teachers.
Okay.
So we said, oh, can we sing another song?
And
they said,
here we
yes,
go.
Of course. So we started singing. The
what
love
sing?
Of the Lord is
a strong tower.
A strong tower. The people run in.
Oh, my goodness.
To...
And they started doing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and all the kids were doing the action.
Oh.
So. But unfortunately, our minders knew what we were singing.
So is that your minders?
Yeah. Two minders, yeah. Three minders, you know.
So they was protecting you.
And this, you can see what they're.
You can see what they're all about. Yeah.
So they weren't too pleased, and.
So that's the same school there, Brian. Is that coloured one there?
Yeah, yeah, that's the same. That's how I got in. I actually started giving sweets out, and they let us in. They didn't want to at first. This was what they call a collective farm.
Yeah.
You know, and it has a picture of all the lovely wheat they're growing, but actually there's nothing there. It's just stubble.
No,
yeah.
It's just, oh, okay.
It's all propaganda.
So
again.
It's all propaganda. It's all
yeah.
visual that doesn't exist.
Yeah, yeah. And there's a picture of the divide between the north and the south.
And you're with a, you've got to turn it up the other way. That's it. I can see that the lights come off of that. Look at that soldier.
Yeah, that's a North Korean guard at
a
the
North
border.
North Korean border guard.
Yeah.
And the buildings behind there are on the American side.
Well, they're in the middle.
Oh, they're in the middle.
These
right.
are the buildings in the middle between the Americans and the North
yeah.
Koreans.
Yeah, so these are like blue, for all those listening, like blue tin huts, basically.
Yeah, and they will have, they used to have meetings in there. I think they
yeah.
still have might have the odd one between the South and the North, you know.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so.
Very interesting pictures.
Yeah.
So what's that up there, Brian, that one with...
Well, every now and then we have to listen to a lot of propaganda, so this was actually in the building.
Yeah.
And there's a North Korean soldier and one of the minders, and she's giving us a spiel about how they're going to bash the Americans up if they ever try and invade.
Oh, okay, lies. It's all lies. Propaganda and lies.
Yeah, yes, sort of thing. But the amazing
really
thing...
Really interesting
But I
pictures.
Want to tell you a lovely story that happened.
Yes.
Again, we had to watch ourselves because you're not allowed to just go up and start speaking to people.
Yeah.
But this was... but they got used to the idea that we were Christians by then.
They got used to it.
We just said, oh, you've got Christians, and they claim to have, you see. They've got one official church.
One church.
Yeah, which is like just a joke because they have paid Christians to be the official...
Paid Christians.
And they take like tourists there, like Russian tourists.
Yeah, okay.
But anyway, so we used to say prayer time while we're travelling through. So we'd stop and pray, usually at a little place with a small cafe. They used to have these roadside, and again for tourists, huts selling... Sugar,
just
nuts and stuff, you know.
Oh, right.
So we were praying, and I noticed this woman sitting on a wall.
Oh, yeah, just on to the left-hand side of the picture.
Yeah, so I thought, I wonder. She couldn't take her eyes off us. And so I went up to one of the minders, that lady I showed you before.
Yeah.
And I bought a whole load of nuts. Too
I'm
big
bagfuls. I'm going to feed the squirrels.
Yeah. And I said, oh, I've got too many of these. Can I give this woman some of my nuts?
Ah.
And so the minder said, she was the nicest of the minders.
Yeah, she was.
she said, oh, okay then. So I gave it her, and as you can see, she put the nuts in her bag.
Oh, yeah, I got her.
So then the woman said, the woman I gave the nuts to said to the minder, why did he do this? And the minder asked me, and I said, well, tell her I'm some crazy guy from England, you see. So she did, and she smiled. And then the minder walked away, and I said, loves you.
Because God loves you.
Yeah.
So you had to do that quietly, but with
actions.
Signs,
with action.
With action.
And
as
she
well.
Nodded.
And she got it.
And when we drove away on the bus, I took this photo from
That's
the
bus. That's a really good picture.
From
right.
the bus.
Yeah.
As we drove away. She never stopped waving until we disappeared. So I believe that was a secret believer.
Captured in time, a secret believer.
Mm.
Brian, it's a fascinating journey. You've always got good stuff to come back with us and to talk to us about. But we've reached the end of this podcast. And Brian, we thank you so much for journeying with us and being so open, talking about your life and everything that you've gone through. And we just want to say thank you for coming.
Thank you.
Today. And we will catch you in another few weeks' time, and you can continue this this great story of the journey of your life. And Brian, could you close in prayer if anybody's listening today? Anyone yes. that is just searching Christianity, could you close in prayer? Thank you very yes. much.
Thank you, Lord, for this time. Lord, I pray your blessings on everyone that has been listening. I just want to say to you, the Bible says there's only one name under heaven by which man can be saved, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody goes to the Father except through me. You either believe that or you don't. But if it's true, you need to respond. And Jesus cannot lie. And he says, I stand at the door. If you open the door, he's talking about the door of your heart, he will come inside. All we have to do is repent and believe. Repentance means not just it does not mean just saying sorry to God. It means agreeing with God that he's right and you're wrong. He's holy. We can't be. The Bible says we are all sinners. But he sent his son Jesus to deal with that sin. All you have to do is say, thank you, Lord. Repent of your sin and accept him as Lord and Savior. And you will be saved. Not might be, not maybe. You will be saved. Say this after me. Thank you, Father, for sending us your Son. Thank you, Jesus, for dying on that cross for my sin. Lord, come into my heart. Be my Savior and Lord. And fill me with your Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brian, once again. You've been listening to myself, Reverend Ben Cooper, with Brian Scully on our podcast at Elim Church in Swanee. Please share everything and like everything we do across all the social media platforms. And we will catch you very, 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 very soon. God bless. Bye-bye.